You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Our reporting project, The Spiritual Edge, has also been putting together a series of profiles about how people do and do not practice their religious beliefs. Ahmed Rashid Salim is Muslim, born in Afghanistan. His family came to the U.S. when he was 10 years old to escape the civil war. It was a big adjustment. Islam is the official religion in Afghanistan, and here he was in the minority. In this next piece, we hear about his choice to remain a practicing Muslim despite feeling the pressures to assimilate. Allahu Akbar.
My name is Ahmed Rashid Salim, and I am a Muslim. To be a practicing Muslim means to attempt to your best human ability to align your actions, your words, and your thoughts with beauty. So I was actually born in Kabul, Afghanistan, towards the waning stages of the Soviet presence in the country. Also lived there during the Civil War. From a very young age, I was quite interested in religion. It was just sort of a natural inclination that I had. My parents were very devout, practicing Muslims, and particularly my father's side. It's a long line of religious scholars. My grandfather was a Hafiz of the Quran, so that's someone who has memorized the entirety of the Quran by heart. And we had access to my father's library and Farsi mystical literature and so forth. So it was sort of a kid in a candy store, except it was books. Beginning of 1993, we fled the civil war in Kabul, became refugees in Peshawar, Pakistan. In Pakistan, I would sometimes, as a young kid, just walk to the mosque myself and attend congregational prayers at the mosque there. There was still the sense that, well, these are just Muslims, you know, they kind of practice and believe the same thing. I was 10 in the summer of 94 when we came to the United States and landed in San Francisco. And it was a big shock. I think walking out of SFO, one of the first things I saw were the highways, right, and the high-rise buildings and the new environment, new friends, and there weren't many Muslims in the school that I was in. There was just one other Muslim. For example, the food at school, if it was a hot dog or a turkey sandwich, it wasn't something that I could eat because it wasn't halal, it wasn't prepared according to Islamic tenets and Islamic teachings. So from the very beginning, those type of issues definitely were there, and you see everyone engaging in something and you can't engage in that, right? The assimilation in a way takes place where you just kind of start living the normal life of a young kid or a teenager, you know, in the States. I made a decision, I think the summer of sophomore year or something, to delve back into reading. I spent that summer reading the Quran with translation in Farsi and then in English. I prayed more, and that really continued, and it continues even until today, I would say. Islam today is the entirety of my life, wherein my engagements, both internally and externally, deal with Islam in one way or another. So within the Islamic Cultural Center of Northern California, I lead Friday prayers. I give talks here in the wider Bay Area as well. I'm invited by different centers to speak.
And we have placed you into nations and tribes. Meaning when you look into this world, you see different people, different skin colors, and different languages, and different perspectives on life.
When you think about Islam, or when you think about someone who leads prayers at a mosque, what comes to mind? Is it someone who is, you know, 60 years old with an accent, who has a limited ability in the English language? Or is it, you know, a young Kabul-born Cali kid, you know, who dresses like a semi-hipster and loves mystical poetry and, you know, basketball?
We are asked to know one another. That means that you have to go beyond acknowledgement. Acknowledgement says, I see you, you see me. Knowing means that I get to open to you, listen to you, hear you out, understand you.
I started to notice Islamophobia and anti-immigrant views at a very early age. I used to work as a courtesy clerk at one of the grocery stores in my city, and a courtesy clerk is a euphemism for someone who just bags the groceries and helps people to their car. And it was a fun job, you know, because a few of my friends worked there as well. But at the same time, you were exposed to many different individuals, and you would have conversations that would come up wherein people would say, well, where are you from? And when they found out that I was from Afghanistan and I was born in Kabul, you know, they would make comments like, so is your family living in the cave, or what about bin Laden, and these type of things, which are, of course, completely offensive things to say to anyone. Islamophobia is not just a term, it's something real. We had our house egged after 9/11. I was accused on numerous occasions by very aggressive individuals of being a supporter of Islamic radicalism. I've been racially profiled. I've been stopped. The FBI has come and spoken to me as a college student. The interesting thing that it did is it did not make me, you know, hate my origins, if I may, or hate my religion. It made me more curious. My favorite passage in the Quran, it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Verily, with hardship, there is ease. Verily, with hardship, there is ease. If the person realizes that within them there is something greater than this hardship, this discovery in itself is ease. It's really something that gives a lot of hope, you know, motivates you to fight on and to continue, and it's something very dear to me.